first day of Parashas Bamidbar. Okay, Bamispar Shemos. So the Torah says there, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Jewish people, and it says Bamispar Shemos, according to the number of their names. You have that there, Chaim Pune?
Yeah.
What's the lesson of the pasuk? Okay, means to their head, to their skull. So, it's kind of an unusual expression, b'mispar shemos, to the number of their names. You just think it would be to their number,
right.
Counting them to their number. Isa b'zohar HaKadosh, Parshas Shemos. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, every single Jew has a letter in the Torah which corresponds to him. That comes in the... You guys were learning that this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
As it says, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. And there are 600,000 neshamos of the Jewish people. So therefore, each neshama has an oath that corresponds to it in the Torah. In addition to that, b'chol ha-Torah shemos of Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the Torah are names of Hashem. And the Ramban writes this in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, the Hakdama, that the whole Torah is actually one long shame of Hashem. And it's just a question of how you group the letters and how you form the words, but it's all one shame. So the Torah is all Hashem's name. So we've got three things here. 600,000 neshamas, 600,000 letters, and they are all somehow equal to these shemos of Hashem that the Torah consists of. Valzek Ziv. And about this it is written, Pasuk kol hanikra bishmi v'lichvodi. All that is written by my name and to my honor, that's referring to Hashem. Shebnei Yisrael nikra'u bishmo yisborach. That we are therefore called by Hashem's name. If the Torah is Hashem's name, each letter of the Torah corresponds to our neshama, so therefore, if you think about that, that means Hashem's name is called upon Klal Yisrael.
Right.
The totality of our neshamos equals the totality of all the letters of the Torah is one shame of Hashem. So God's name is called upon us by makeup, you know, that by nature, that's how we are. Our neshama equals the chelik of Hashem's name. It is therefore our obligation to increase the honor of Hashem. God's name is called upon us, so it's upon us to increase that honor of Hashem by what we do, how we live our life.
Looks like
this. But this concept of Hashem's name resting in Klal Yisrael, which is, you see a lot in Sforim, and one of the predominant places you see that is by the mitzvah of Tefillin. Because there it's very clear, the Shem Shin Dalad Yud is spelled out on the Tefillin and the Kesher, and the Shin is also on the bias of the Shorosh. So with Tefillin, Hashem's name is spelled out on us in a certain way. But he's saying even more than that, that just by virtue of our makeup, Hashem's name is always called upon us. So I'll just explain that last point. The Mispar Shemos. So the number of Klal Yisroel equals Shemos, Shemos of Hashem, which the Torah consists of. I think that's the remnants he's trying to bring up.
And
Mispar
number
Shemos.
And name, they're
right. Mispar Shemos. The number of our souls equals the Shemos of Hashem, which is the Torah. Ali?
And the numbers of the letters, though, is it because we also say the spaces in between the letters themselves form letters? In other words, I thought I read somewhere the Torah doesn't have exactly...
It doesn't. It has more like 300,000 letters
in
it.
And then someone said it's the spaces between also then...
Spaces between them. Some say also the letters, many of the letters are made up of more than one letter. You know, like the letter Lamed, if it's a kuf with a vav sitting on it.
So that's how they could bring it to
600. Right, so you get 600,000. There's a lot of discussion about that because the Torah doesn't have 600,000 letters in that, at least in the form that we recognize it. It obviously does because the Chachamim say it.
Yeah,
we have to figure out what it means.
God forbid this is not an argument.
Yeah.
I'm just trying
sure.
to
That's one way to look at it.
It was brought down also in part of what we learned today by the work of Daliahu, that also you have the letters and then the pronunciation of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 300 and you pronounce it, you have 2 times 3.
That's interesting.
Isn't that what he also brought
very
down?
Interesting. Yeah. That's a very interesting thought. Was that his mimer on Shavuos? Was that a Shavuos mimer? Or Gedaliah? Or a Sefer by Midbar?
Shavuos
mimer.
Right. And the possibility that the Rashi Tevos, like a one word, is really Rashi Tevos, so you have to count all the letters, that it might be the Rashi Tevos. So.
So another option.
There's
a lot of,
it can go a lot of directions, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Only 600.
Okay, let's see the next one. Pikudehem lamateh, their numbers according to their tribe. Lamateh means a staff, it also often means a tribe. So what does that mean, their numbers according to their tribe? The Nira, it appears, Sha'agav haminyan, Haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, Mesakein eskol chesronoseihem. Wow. By counting them, Moshe Rabbeinu was misaken all of their deficiencies. So it's good to be counted by Moshe Rabbeinu. All of your chesronos get taken care of. So that's Lashon Pikudehem, which literally means they're counting, but he learns it as that which they are lacking. Because there is a pasuk, Milashon, V'lo nifka mimenu ish. Not one man was lacking from this. Talking about one of the times we were at war, I believe. Well, I can't place the pasuk. Lo nifkad mimenu ish, not even one man was missing. So the word pikudehem can also mean lacking, hainu chisara. And by means of being counted by Moshe Rabbeinu, that in itself was a tikkun for the chisronos of Klal Yisrael. Now, I really have no idea what this means, that Moshe Rabbeinu is counting Klal Yisrael with misakin or chisronos. I don't know what he's saying and what he's referring to. But just a thought, that when you have a leader who then interacts with the people, and as a result of the people, he's confirming everybody's identity. Because that's what's happening here when they were being counted. They brought their Sefer Yuchsin. They brought their genealogy, their Yichus, who they were, what family they belonged to. And by doing that, by means of a great leader, when a person attaches themselves to a mishpacha and a shevet, that helps a person to feel like they are somebody. It gives a person an identity. It has to be done in the right way, so it's not just a, you might say, a census taking. And maybe that's the idea, that through Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody's identity was established, and that in itself is a tikkun for people to feel like you belong to something. Yes, Chaim Plunin.
It uses the lashon of pakad, reminds me. The experience of Bnei Akiva used to do Mifkad.
Right, Mifkad,
right? Which, like, you know, okay, you right. Get your group comes, and then you get to see the entirety. And it's almost as like to count and then to be counted,
uh-huh.
And that I count in the counting, that I have some importance. I'm being counted
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of this klal. And to some degree that an acceptance and a great leader does that I want to come to the assembly, be part of what's going on, I want to be counted in, I want to be counted on, and that something larger happens, more than the sum of its parts.
Very good. You know, the pasuk in the Torah when Hashem remembered Sarah, who was barren, and then she became pregnant, giving birth to Yitzchak. So it says, V'Hashem Pokad Esara. It's Kriya for Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, Hashem remembered her, or Hashem visited upon her. She became pregnant. And the Lashon Pokad there is, seems to me, maybe it means paid attention to. So here also, it's counting, but it's also being paid attention to. Hashem pakad asura, God paid attention to her and helped her conceive, just as he told her that he was going to do that. And maybe that's kind of the direction this is coming. It's not just my number, you know, but someone's focusing on me. Which is, I think, the point that you're making, Chaim, when you're trying to help people feel like they're being paid attention to.
But it would seem like it would be very important that it is only done when God asks for it, because when David HaMelech counted it.
Right, there was a punishment.
There was a punishment.
Right. There was also not counting in the right way. There was a mistake there for counting people instead of counting coins or other things there.
I know, but still, it would seem to me that for this to have an effect, and maybe that's why when God directs the count, it has this effect. It's also a T-code in some way, but it's because he's asked for it.
Right.
He says, you matter to me, you're still here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in that way, it's fulfilling Hashem's mitzvah in the counting, as opposed to just doing it spontaneously or for... without being connected to a mitzvah.
So maybe you're protected because of the mitzvah of being
connected. That's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, it is. That's what I see.
Excellent.
Because you can do the same action of counting, and I could come away with, oh, I'm just a number.
Right.
Right.
Versus I count, which
right.
is that attention.
Which means I matter.
Which I matter.
Right. How are you, Josh? Now, this story is going... not quite the same point, but I feel there's a certain connection to the story and what we just were speaking about. The Chernobyl or Magid? I don't remember if it was the Chernobyl or Magid or his son, Rav Aaron of Chernobyl. One of the two. I think it was the Chernobyl or Magid. That he was a great tzaddik. And there was a man in his town who was a Talmud Chacham, but he never wanted to have a real connection to the Chernobyl or Magid. He was more of a Misnagid, and well, it wasn't for him. So one Pesach, he kind of had this feeling, this man, that he should really go over and see the Chernobyl or Magid and develop a kesher with him. He started to have second thoughts about his keeping apart from him. So it was Pesach, and he crossed the threshold of the Magid of Chernobyl's door. And as soon as he walked in the house, the Chernobyl or Magid said to him, "You were nichshol on the Isser of Chametz this Pesach. You stumbled in the prohibition of Chametz." As soon as he walked in the house, he told him that. This man is a Talmud Chacham, a Yerush Shemaim, and he was just shocked. And he quickly went home, and he just said, "Okay, we have to find out, you know, what we're doing wrong." And they searched everywhere; they found nothing, and continued to search. And finally, they found this barrel of water that they used. They would use only one barrel of water in his house for Pesach, and that's where they would get all their water from. They wouldn't take in any other water. And it had turned out that the barrel of water was not properly rinsed before Pesach, and there were some crumbs, you know, still that were there and in the barrel. So he went back to the Magid of Chernobyl's house, and he said to him, "Why didn't you tell me before? Right, if you were able to see, just because I walked into your home, that I was nichshol in chametz, so why did you wait? You know, until the end of Pesach, why didn't you tell me at the very beginning so I wouldn't have this avera?" So the Magid told him that, "I didn't know. I did not know before. It was only once you decided that you wanted to have a kesher with me and you walked into my house, then it was given for me to see what I needed to tell you. But before you made that decision, I didn't know. It wasn't given over for me to see." So this mimer reminded me of that. It's in reverse, you know, that when the person decides he wants to make that kesher with the Rebbe, then the Rebbe has insight into him and he can help him out. So when he, you might say, pays attention to his relationship to the Rebbe, then he can pay attention to him. And so likewise, this was going really in reverse, that here, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe of Ganz Klal Yisrael, he was paying attention to each and every one. But maybe there's something about it too, because they had to come forward with their yichus, right? They had to make the effort to present themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu. And in presenting themselves, then he can make this tikkun that we were talking about.
fact is that maybe that's more what is at play there. God has directed the count, but really what he wanted was all Israel to come forward to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right. Right. Which they did.
Right. Because now they're counting as individuals. Up to now they've been treated as a nation. But now each person matters because they have the Mishkan, now they can count.
Who is that story about?
The Magid of Chernobyl.
But who is it that was going to?
I don't know his name. It was someone in his town who okay. did not want to have a relationship with him, and then later on in their life they decided that they should.
Maybe that's what it means in Avos when it says that you should take yourself a rav, take a rav, you know, because one has to choose and step into that, you know.
I say l'charav, right? You got to enter into that relationship in order to receive the insight, the proper insight from the rav. I can certainly say that in my own life. I see that you know, I feel that my abilities to help somebody or guide somebody who has decided to make a relationship is much different than my abilities to help somebody who would approach me outside of the context of a relationship. I can see even just on that level that there's a difference, that because of that kesher, it's like the kesher itself helps provide the insight. But outside of that, you have to answer the question, you know, just based on what you're given, and there's often a lot of context which is you're not really quite familiar with.
But it goes both ways, because to have a kesher with that other person, to have that made that decision, it helps the whole thing work. You know, I mean, having a kesher with you is different from me than going to some great
somebody
rabbi,
you don't know.
That we have no kesher with, right. Because I can't, you know, it's me that feels something's
mm-hmm.
missing.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you just flip that out for a minute, please, all right? Can it be turned on?
I don't know if I can
pull the plug.
Okay. That would be different, just by the way, this can be on tape, sorry. That would be different than if a person went to see, if we were zochah to such a thing, if we went to see the Baal Shem Tov, right? It doesn't matter anymore. You're going, because he sees everything. It's not a question of a relationship, not a kesher. That level of person sees somebody, and that's how it used to be. That you'd go and they'd look at you and they'd know you by looking at you, and then whatever was said, that's what was said. But I don't think we have that anymore. Josh?
No. Generally, there's generally one or two people that are considered like the devil adore. In any case, it seems like it might be that there's someone who's at such a level that the whole Bal Yisrael is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Baal Shem Tov of his time.
Right.
I remember so many stories of so many different people went to see Rav Shlomo Zalman, and I was thinking that someone on that at that level.
Right.
I mean, the great thing I remember reading some woman's recollection of going to see him and him saying, you know, not answering the question. But, I mean, maybe it's to the point where if he didn't recognize the kesher or the background to answer the shah or the question or whatever, say no, you decide for yourself.
Right.
But somebody who's just a gadol, but
no such thing as that. No such thing as just a gadol. You're either a gadol or you're not a gadol. There's no just a gadol. A gadol is a gadol. That's a title, and there's no chiluki.
Someone.
A Talmud Chacham, but who's not one of the Gadol Yisrael, perhaps, right?
Someone who doesn't have the shachas to where you're coming from.
Okay. And that person could be a Talmud Chacham as well. But again, they don't have that kesher.
But who is could be recognized as Gadol Yisrael.
So this is the fine line then, right? And I'm certainly nobody to make these decisions as to who's who. If that person is truly, you know, a Godel B'Yisroel of the highest level, then they're seeing that person who is coming to them. That's why I chose the Baal Shem Tov as the example. Because then the Kesher is not, at that point, so much of a factor. He sees you. Yeah, Beruach HaKodesh. He sees you, he sees who you are. He knows what you need. So we're talking about extremely great people. But there are very few people, there are probably no people, Bizmanenu, who would say, and I'm talking about our own Gedolim, who would say that they're on that level. A person would go to the Ari HaKadosh, and he'd look at their forehead, and he'd know they're Averis. You gotta do this, and you gotta do that. He'd read their face. Same thing by Baal Shem. People were afraid to, you know, to sometimes go over to the Ari, because they knew he could see everything about them. So that's one thing. You know, you go to that kind of a person, and whatever they say. I don't think there's any choice there. But if the Godel, let's say in our door, is not presenting himself as having such abilities, and I don't know of anybody who does present himself, then I think it becomes a very delicate issue. Like, I'm not talking about a shaila, because a shaila, when it's asked, you have to do what the halacha is. I'm talking about an etza.
It just reminds me of the question that when the Baal Shem Tov was close to being leaving this world, and some Hasidim asked who should be their next Rebbe. And the Baal Shem Tov's etza, as I remember it, was that they ask potential candidates how do you deal with pride? And anybody who tries to give you an answer can't be my successor. And I guess when they went to Pinchas of Kobrin, he said...
Of course,
right. He said that's, you know, if I only knew how to deal with that. But I don't. There's no etzah for that, and that's how they accepted him as the Rebbe. And I mean, I was just...
But he didn't become the leader. Because the Magid of Mezerish.
As I understood the story, it was just for these particular people. I don't know if
this group, you mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the way I understood the story.
I see.
That he became their Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what puzzles me in your question is, I can't imagine anybody saying on themselves that they would be on the level of the Baal Shem Tov, even the Baal Shem Tov. Right? I mean,
not that they're on that level, but that it's known that they can look at you and know what you need. We don't have anybody like this who people look at in that way.
I disagree. I mean, I think that somebody knows everybody. I mean, I've sometimes it's a faith, but I've had that faith in you, and felt like you knew what I needed at certain times.
So I think that's because of relationship.
Right.
That's going back to that. That's because of relationship. Like that first story, when that man came to the Magid of Chernobyl's house, so once you came to me and wanted a relationship, now I have insight into you. And I think the relationship is a really big part of it. So I'm talking about a person who goes to somebody who they don't have a relationship with. And that's very delicate.
It is.
Very sticky.
Although within your story about the Magid, that relationship developed quickly, because it just says the man...
All he needed was just to have it.
That first step.
That's all he needed was the desire for him to make that kesher.
Right. That's a quick developing relationship.
So someone who is known to be a Makubal or a great person, but on the level, So... We're going for a bracha. Okay, so in that sense, so that's one place. It's not an etzah, but it's the recognizing that this person, in terms of, I don't know what they do and what a bracha really is, but somehow it's a good thing. So then, if that person would, then you runs all those areas. You go to Makub one and he gets an etzah. What happens in terms of, so now you're stuck with a decision to make on that etzah. and he doesn't know you, but you're going to him for a bracha, and you're kind of trusting that this is a person I can go to a bracha, and he's someone who is a, you know, known not to be a fake. So then what do you do with that? What happens spiritually when someone like that puts out an Asa, and you're in the position of, whoa, that's like totally out of how I live, whether the Asa is, you know, davening basikin, or, you know, do this in your house, or don't do this, and it's really not how you've been living
right.
your life. So
right.
I guess the question is, what do you, so, you know, I used to want to run to Rebbe's to just to go to bracha, but then I kind of realized there's this other part of the package
yeah.
which I don't want. So what happens spiritually that a person like this can, I mean, are they, you know, are they still putting you in an uncomfortable place now that you've spoken to them?
Can't turn it off. Turn off the machines.